here.
So we're learning the Mishnah of Klal Gadol, and we started the Sugya on Daf Ayin Gimel on the base. Minyan Olamali, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Shimason Kulam Behelam Echad Chayav Al Kol Achas Viachas. Now this Sugya that establishes that you chayav 39 chatos for violating Shabbos appears in a number of places. It appears on Samach Tes, it appears on Ayin Beis, and it appears all the way at the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Vav. And it's interesting that if you compare Rashi on Daf Vav to Rashi here, you'll get two different impressions. What exactly is the chiddush here in the Mishnah of Rabbi Yochanan? The way that Rabbi Yochanan interprets it, Shemason Kulam Behelim Echad Chayav Al Kol Achas V'Achas. And let's just try to present the two different views. That of Rashi on Daf Vav Amid Beis, and that of Rashi here on Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Beis. Rashi on Daf Vav Amid Beis tells us that the Chiddush is that you're chayav a maximum of 39 melachas, not more. What would be the Havmina to say that you chayav more than 39 melachas? For Toldus as well. So it means that according to Rashi and Daf Vav Amid Beis, the Chiddush of our Mishnah, the minyan, is Lafuke Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that you chayav for an Av and a Tolda two Chatos. Rashi here, on the other hand, on Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, seems to assume that you chayav Kama Chatos, meaning more than one Chatos. And that means that the Hav Amina was that you'd only be chayv one chatos. The reason why you'd be chayv one chatos, as we explained the other day, is because how many different violations are you guilty of if you do various malachas on Shabbos? How many different averis in the Torah have you violated? Abosai? Anybody? Only one, correct? Lo sasu kol malacha. So the chiddush here, the way Rashi interprets it, is that no, that it's not one avera, but it's many averas, and each av malacha generates its own separate avera, and therefore its own separate chatos. Now, Rabbi Kiva Eger here says the following. He says that it could be that there are enochinami two chidushim in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says avos molochos at the beginning arboim chaser achas, and that's minyana lomali, and then at the end of the Mishnah once again it says hare elu avos molochos arboim chaser achas. So basically there's a repetition here of arboim chaser achas, which gives us two different chidushim. And Rabbi Kivega says the following, that how could it possibly be that he's chayav for each and every malacha? It must be that he was shogeg on each and every malacha. Otherwise he couldn't be chayav chatos for each malacha. No, but what is the maximum number of chatos he could be chayav? 39. Well, that means that he was unaware of 39 different malachas. So Rabbi Kivega asks the following question, and he points to a sugya on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, right before our Mishnah. And the question is, well, if he's unaware of each of the 39 malachos, then in effect, what is the nature of his shogeg? It's a Shigas Shabbos. Now the Mishnah establishes that Shigas Shabbos, if he doesn't remember that it's Shabbos, no matter how many malachos he does, he's only going to bring one chatos. So why is he chayav 39 chatos for forgetting 39 malachos? In effect, he forgot it was Shabbos. And Rabbi Kivega says that the only way we can resolve that issue is by finding a small slice here where on the one hand he's aware it's Shabbos, on the other hand he doesn't know any of the 39 malachas.
Why can't he be aware that it's Shabbos and just not know that things are prohibited? Shabbos is a day we have an assay.
Okay, so we'll get to assay. Apparently assay may or may not be sufficient, we'll see. But in any event, let's just present the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And then we'll get to your case of the essay of Shmirah Shabbos. So Rabbi Yochanan says the following. Again, this sugya appears twice, on Samach Tes and also on Ayin Gimel. If he's shogeg in the Chiyuv Kares, and he's mistaken, thinking that if you violate a malach on Shabbos, you have violated a lav, and that incurs a chiyuv. What does a lav incur? A chiyuv malchus, not kares. Then that's enough to make him into a shogeg. He's mazid legabi the avera, but he's shogeg legabi the chiyuv kares. And Reish Lakish disagrees. Reish Lakish says if he knows, he's aware of what the fact that what he's doing, what he's implementing is a violation of a law, it's an Issur Torah, that alone is sufficient to make him into a mazid. And the fact that he's not aware that he's Chayiv Kares is not going to make him into a shogeg. And therefore our problem that we raised earlier, which is Rabbi Kivega's problem, basically the sugya's problem, is very severe according to Reish Lakish. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yochanan, I can understand how a person could fit into that very slim, narrow category of, on the one hand, he's aware of Shabbos, on the other hand, he's unaware of all the malachas, because he thinks that each malach is only a chi of lav, and not a chi of kares. But according to Reish Lakish, he says that once he's aware of the avera, that itself makes him into a mazid, regardless of whether or not it's a chi of lav in his mind, or a chi of kares of the mitzvahs, he's already a mazid. So again, Hadra Kushya Leduchta, where do we ever have a situation, according to Reish Lakish, in which he's going to be chayav for every single malacha, that means 39 chatos, without being a shogeg on Shabbos? He's aware of Shabbos, but he's unaware of the malachas of Shabbos. Each malach will generate its own chiyuv chatos, a total of 39. Whereas if he had been unaware of Shabbos, he would be chayav only one karban. So to the answer to that question, the Gemara is going to stretch its arm out to a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim regarding Tchumen on Shabbos, whether Tchumen on Shabbos is Doraisa or not Doraisa. Rabbi Akiva, the Tana Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that Tchumen is Doraisa, Al Yetze Ish Vimkov Yom HaShabbos, and the Chachamim are of the opinion that Tchumen is only Derabban. And that's the way the Gemara is going to solve the problem for Reish Lakish. But before we get to that solution, let's just analyze for one moment the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. According to Reish Lakish, I clearly understand the definition of shogeg as opposed to mazid. And what's that? According to Reish Lakish, that's a cinch. Rabbi Yochanan is a little bit more sophisticated. Can anybody? No. You're already in Rabbi Yochanan's turf. I'm in Reish Lakish's turf. If you're aware of what is the critical element that crosses the bounds and make you into a mazid? Of the avera, correct. You're aware of the avera. If you know the avera, Reish Lakish says you are now a mazid and not a shogeg. Now what about Rabbi Yochanan? Joel, you started, finish.
You don't know the punishment.
Exactly. So what's koveh mazid and shogeg? Is it the avera, the idias avera makes you a mazid, or no, the idias haonesh makes you into punishment? Now, Rav Osai, we can point out in many different ways, all of Shas, how the difference between an averas alav and an averas kares is very fundamental. Who can give me one example from Noshim, from Seder Noshim? Which relationship, which illicit relationship generates mamzerus? Only a chiv kares, not a chiv lav. Again, there are many shittas. There are about five different shittas in the Gemara in the third Perkei Ksuvos. But we paskin that only a chiyuv kares is an erva which generates mamzerus. Or, for example, if you take a look, I gave a tshuva drush on this on Shabbos before Yom Kippur. The Rambam says that the Sorel Azazel is mechaper for every avera unless there's a chiyuv kares. So you see that chiyuv kares puts you in a whole different category. It might be nogea tei harik val yavra and kiddush Hashem, even if it's private. It could be a chiyuv kares would be enough. Well, no, maybe you need the big three. You have to know. But a chiyuv kares impacts and upgrades the chumras avera in a very substantial way. Says Reb Yochanan, if he's not aware that Shabbos incurs a chiyuv kares, which means, by the way, that you chayv skila for Shabbos, but that's only the mason in Basra. If there was no mason in Basra, you get kares. Says Reb Yochanan, you're already a shogeg. Because your misimpression has it that Shabbos is an Iser lav. So the Chumras HaVera, which is reflected in the Onish Kares, is what makes you into a Mazid. In the absence of your awareness of the Chumras HaVera of Kares, and if you're in under the misimpression that Shabbos is only a violation of a lav, a classical lav, you become a shogeg. So the Gemara says that works out very, very well. The man thinks that for Shabbos he violates 39 different Isurim, but he's a shogi because he thinks he's only chai for an averis alav. He's not aware of the onesh of kares. But according to Reish Lakish, what does he know about Shabbos? What does he know about Shabbos that makes him into... No. That takes him out of the category of Shigigah Shabbos, and therefore, instead of Chayiv one Karban Chatos, he's going to be Chayiv 39 Karban Chatos. At what point, if he's aware of the Avera, and therefore he has the Adios HaShabbos, he's amazing. He doesn't bring a Karban Chatos. And if he's unaware of the Avera, so what gives him and establishes him a Yedias HaShabbos? So what is Gemara's answer? Tchumen. But Tchumen is only according to Rabbi Akiva. In other words, the Gemara doesn't assume that Yedias HaVera Derabanan would make him into amazing, according to Reish Lakish. I'm sorry. Let me say that again. That Yedias HaVera Derabanan would make him into a Yodea Shu Shabbos. Lafuke Shigya Shabbos. That's not enough. It has to be a Doraisa. So we're in a bind. Because Mimonavshach, if it's a Doraisa with an Iser Avera, he's already amazed. And therefore, he's not Chayv any Karbonos. He can't get away with any Kapara here because he's amazed. If, on the other hand, he's not aware of any of the Lavim, he may know about the Rabbanans, but that's not enough to undermine the Shigya Shabbos, and therefore he should only be Chayv one Karbon. So the Gemara answers that we're dealing with Tchumen, but only according to Rabbi Akiva holds Tchumen is Doraisa. And this touches on a major machlokes, how to interpret the Chachamim Shita. Some say the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Akiva only as far as Tchumen of Alpayim Amo, but they agree as far as Yud Beis Meal, that is Doraisa. The Gemara itself is proof positive, no, that the Chachamim reject entirely the concept of Tchumen Doraisa, even in the case of Yud Beis Meal, and therefore, according to Reish Lakish, we now have a solution to someone who knows about Shabbos. He knows about Shabbos, and therefore he's not a Shiga Shabbos, but he's not amazed. Why isn't he amazed? Oh, so here we have to add another concept. What would make him into a mason? Again, if you're going to tell me Yedias HaVera, then if you quote Rabbi Akiva, you're in trouble. Because Rabbi Akiva also has an HaVera of Tchumen. What are you going to have to answer? You need a Yedias what? A Molocha. You have to have a Yedias HaMolocha in order to make you into a mason that's not going to be able to bring a kapara of a karban. So in other words, according to Reish Lakish, he still is bechlal shogeg, and he can get away with a kapara of a karban, because what? Because he's not aware of the malacha. Ah, he's aware of Shabbos. Okay, he's aware of an Issa Doraisa of Shabbos going to Rabbi Kiva's Tchumen, and therefore he's no longer a Shigas Shabbos. He's going to be chayv now for each Malacha because he has Yediyah Shabbos and a Shigas Malacha. But why is it called a Shigas Malacha? If he knows a Malacha of Shabbos, then that makes him into an absolute mazid. But the answer is, he's not aware of anything but Tchumen, and Tchumen is not a Malacha. Tchumen is a separate Isur Shabbos. By the way, what's the nafkamina whether you call something a malacha or an Isur? A separate Isur. Nafkamina is going to be mumrus. Because a mumr l'chol Shabbos is a mumr l'chol atar kula. But medvar amurim, if he's a mumr l'malacha, if he's only a mumr l'isurim, for example, Beishamai Shita is that Shvisas Behemto is Doraisa, that if he violates Shvisas Behemto, Machamer Acha Behemto on Shabbos, he's not going to be a Mumar. He only generates Mumaris if what? If he violates a Malach on Shabbos. Oh. Now, we have to ask the following question. Why does the Gemara have to stretch its arm out to the case of Tchumen? So Sam is going to mention the essay. But before we get to the essay, is there another Isur which is a Doraisa on Shabbos but not a Malacha besides Tchumen? Hotzah is a Malacha Doraisa and it engenders a Chiyuv Misa and a Chiyuv Kares. So if he's aware of Hotzah, then he's amazed. What's the answer? Havara. But Havara, according to which mind the Omar? Then Havara l'lav yotzis. So we have machlokas whether Havara l'chalek yotzis or Havara l'lav yotzis. Our Mishnah seems to reflect the Shita that Havara l'chalek yotzis. And therefore Havara is b'chlal melecha Shabbos. And therefore Mavir appears in our Mishnah. That's why the Gemara doesn't want to exercise the possibility that maybe Reish Lakish would make him into a mazid l'Shabbos based on his yediyah of Havara, of the Isur Havara, even though Havara would be a wonderful candidate for an Isur Shabbos without a Melecha Shabbos, and it would only generate Malkus but not Kares, because it's not a Melecha. But that's only according to the man the Omer, who says Havara l'lav yotzis. We paskin like our Mishnah Havara is l'chalik yotzis. Oh, now Sam asks the question, what if he's aware of the essay? So we open up the Rambam, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph of Hilchas Shabbos, and the Rambam tells us that there are two types of essen in the Torah. One is a classical essay, and another is called what? An Iser essay. Right? It's otherwise known as a Lav Haba Mechal essay. And the Rambam says that if he violates Malacha on Shabbos, then not only has he violated the Lav of Losasa called Malacha, he's also violated the essay of Tishbos. How did the Rambam understand Tishbos? It's an Iser. And it's an Iser Doraisa. And it's an Issa Doraisa that enjoins me from doing what? Malacha. How many categories of Malacha do we have? 39. That would make him into a mason. But I had another possibility. Maybe he's aware of the mitzvah of what? Of Kiddush. Kiddush and Avdolah. Because Kiddush and Avdolah is Doraisa. The Rambam says that although Kiddush al Hayayin is midivrei sofrim, although the Rambam uses a very strange periklamet alach al, the Rambam uses a very strange concept. He calls it midivrei kabbalah because it's based on Yeshayahu and Navi. But nevertheless, the Rambam holds that Kiddush is doraisa. Is Kiddush a malacha? No. Is it a lav? No. Is it a lav haba mechal essay? No. So here would be a perfect example of someone who knows Shabbos Doraisa without knowing any lav and any avera. Therefore, he would be yotza mechal shigiga Shabbos, but he would not be amazed. Because in order to be amazed, he'd have to know about a malacha. So why does the Gemara have to stretch its arm out to Tchumen? Why not just simply say Kiddush? So I have a crazy answer to this question. And you'll either take it or leave it. That's up to you. Ich will sagen etwas. I want to say something. Kiddush is only meaningful if you recognize the Kedushas Hayom. What is the mitzvah of Kiddush? The mitzvah of Kiddush is to create the inception of Kedushas Hayom. What's Kedushas Hayom in the case of Shabbos? Not Chumen. Even if I accept Rabbi Akiva, and the fact that I'm aware of the Isut Chumen means I'm Yotzeh Mechlal Shigya Shabbos. But nevertheless, my Kiddush is meaningless. Why? Because I am unaware of the Kedusha Sayom. What is the essence of the Kedusha Sayom of Shabbos? Malach. And if you're lacking in the Kedusha Sayom of Malacha, your Kiddush is meaningless. Ad kdekach, that the Magen Avraham wants to say that somebody who has to eat on Yom Kippur, because he's a choleh, he cannot make Kiddush. Why? Because the essence of the Kedusha Sayom of Yom Kippur, says the Magen Avraham in the name of Marie Bruna, is the Isra Achila V'Nisim Esnaf Shel Seichem. If he's out of the pale of V'Nisim Esnaf Shel Seichem, he cannot recite Kiddush. Many poskim disagree with the Magen Avraham, and they say that a person who has to eat on Yom Kippur will make Kiddush. But even that is not a steer to what I'm saying. Why is a person who has to eat on Yom Kippur able to make Kiddush according to those who argue with the Magen Avraham? Because what does he have? Isur Malach. He may not have the Isur Achila because he's a Choleh, but he has the Isur Malach. The basic minimum to engender the mitzvah of Kiddush is Malach. If you have a day that's devoid of Malacha, then Kiddush is meaningless. Now you'll ask me, but don't we make Kiddush on a Tainus? The answer is we don't make Kiddush on a Tainus, because Tainus has no Kiddush Sayyom. Don't we make Kiddush on Yom Kippur? We should make Kiddush on Yom Kippur, but we can't, because Kiddush requires Yain, and we can't drink the Yain. Maybe we could be Mekayim the Doraisa of Kiddush without Yain. And that I hold, you could be Mekayim with Divrei Shevach about Yom Kippur. That's what we do on the night of Yom Kippur. What other day in the year? Somebody told me that in Bnei Akiva, they make Kiddush on Purim. Is that so?
No, not
traditionally. Well, maybe in England they didn't, but the Israeli Bnei Akiva mix make Kiddush on Purim. That's Purim Torah. If you make Kiddush on Purim, that's Purim Torah. It's a Kiyum of Simchas Purim, but it's not a Kiyum of Kiddush, because Purim has no Kiddush Sayyum. Do you follow what I'm saying? Define your day. You want to know if there's a mitzvah Kiddush or not. It depends upon the following question. Is there Isur Malacha or is there no Isur Malacha? Joel, do you have a cash on me? I don't have a cash. If you have a cash, I'll have to be moided that I'm wrong.
You're telling me something, that there's a reason for the mitzvahs, and that's an ikar.
No, not that there's a reason for a mitzvah, but that I have to be Mekadish a day. How do I sanctify the day? Because of Trumen? Today is sanctified because I'm not allowed to walk 2,000 amah outside the city limits. That's not Kiddush Sayyom.
I don't know anything. I'm just saying the words.
Meaningless. No, meaningless. Kiddush means to be Mekadish the Shabbos. You have to. Even Rabbeinu Yonah is very famous. He goes even further than this. Rabbeinu Yonah says at the beginning of Masechet Brachos, Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah, that even if I paskin mitzvos einam tzriches kavana, but any mitzvah amira in which I'm declaring something requires kavana. He doesn't even limit it to Kiddush. I would have limited it to Kiddush. He goes on and he says every mitzvah sheba amira, whether it be tefillah, whether it be Sfiras HaOmer, whether it be Agodah Shel Pesach, Sipri Tzitzis, whatever it is, requires kavana. Kuli Alma lo pligi. Amira is meaningless. Shebeguf could be Kovea, Kavano, or maybe replace Kavano. I don't know how it works, that you have to know the Sugya Mitzvah is Kavano. But a Maisa Shel Amira, says Rabbeinu Yonah, it's a Rishon. It's not one of the Chidushim after Reb Chaim. This is a Rishon. And he says it requires Kavano.
Chol HaMoed, according to the Rambam, is Malach is only the Rabbanan.
No, maybe that's why we don't make Kiddush, but you're asking me according to the Rambam.
According to the Rambam, so there is no Kiddush Sayyom for Chol HaMoed?
I don't know. Kiddush Sayyom is a little bit complicated. I'll tell you why. Because this Parshas Pinchas. when I speak about Kiddush Sayom, I mean Kiddush Sayom of Isar Malach in Parshas Emor. You're asking me, what about the Kiddush Sayom of Parshas Pinchas in Migdash? For example, the Ramban Shita on Rosh Chodesh is that Rosh Chodesh has Kiddush Sayom in Migdash. Why? Because it's a separate carbon you have to bring on Rosh Chodesh. So that's a complicated question. If today's topic was Kiddush Sayom, we'd have to study Chol HaMoed very, very profound. The question of Halel on Chol HaMoed. I mean, does Halel require Kiddush Sayom? I mean, there is a Halel Anes. That's already Chanukah and Purim. But Chanukah Kiddush Sayom, does that include Chol HaMoed? I don't know. Does Chol HaMoed have Kiddush Sayom or not? As far as Isa Malacha, that's a fundamental Machlokas Rishonim. And if you hold that there's no Isa Malacha on Chol HaMoed Midoraisa, and the whole thing, the whole kit kaboodle is the Rabbanon, then what is the Kiddush Sayom of Rosh Chodesh? Of Chol HaMoed, excuse me. So you're going to have to say it's Parshas Pinchas. But the question is, you know, can I establish a Kiddush Sayom outside of Migdash in Gvulin based on the Kiddush Sayom of Parshas Pinchas? All right, let's leave that for now. Rabosai, what's the first malacha on the list? Zoreah, am I right? Okay. So I want to talk to you about Malacha Zoreah. Rashi, on the Mishnah, On Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph, Rashi says Ha Ofe. We're not going to read through the whole Rashi because we're not learning Ofe now, this moment. But Rashi says that Shiurim, it's the last 2.5 lines of the Rashi, Shiurim Shal Elu Kigro Geres. So underline the word Elu, you know, in your mind. Chutz mi Choresh. Dibakolsha. Lekamon Biperek Habona. So here I'll use this as a plug to come to my shirim in Perek Habona. But seriously, when Rashi says Elu, what does Elu include? Or let me ask you the other way around. What does Elu exclude? This the Rashi is very outspoken about. It excludes which malacha? When he says Shiurim Shel Elu Kigro Geres, excludes which malacha, Rabosai? Choresh. So therefore the word Elu includes the other 38 malachas, one of which is Malacha Zoreah. And the Rambam, at the beginning of Perek Ches Milchus Shabbos, tells us that Zoreah is Chaya for a Kol Shu, and there's no shear of Malacha Zoreah. Now, it is possible that Rashi didn't mean it seriously. Maybe Rashi meant that Zoreah and Choresh are a team. You know, they're a pair. I don't know. But the Prima Gadim, who's a... You know, I'm a big fan of the Prima Gadim. He takes this Rashi very literally. And without explaining why, he presents the thesis that Rashi holds that Malacha Zoreah requires a shear of Grogeres. He doesn't explain why, and why the Rambam disagrees. So that's something that we have to analyze. Another question I want to raise with you is simple pshat. What does it mean that there's a shear of Grogeres in Zoreah? Just teach the words for me. According to the Prima Gadim's understanding of Rashi, is Diyuk in Rashi. What does that mean? Does that mean that the Zera itself, the seed that I put into the ground, has to be the shear of Grogeres? Or does he mean that the Tzmachim that will eventually grow from that tiny little seed will have the shear of Grogeres? I don't know. Pshatovna, I don't know what Rashi has in mind according to the way the Prima Gadim learns Rashi.
Assuming it's an annual?
Oh, then the annual, that raises a third question here. When does this Zera produce? Does it produce annually? Is it going to... Can you imagine planting a seed that'll grow on Shabbos? So does this mean, Rabosai, that if I plant a seed and it'll grow annually, I don't know, maybe that means in 3 months' time, or if it's an orchard, you know, notea, maybe it'll take a year or more until it grows. Or do we say no? That maybe just simply putting the zera in the karka is enough for me to be chayev, And nothing has to take place on Shabbos itself. The only thing that took place on Shabbos is that I placed the zera in the ground in such a way that the potential is there to produce. I don't know. The whole sugya here is muddled. I'll ask you a different question. What is the source for all of the 39 malachas, Rabosai? The Mishkan. Did they do Zeriah in the Mishkan? Where was the Mishkan built? In the Midbar, correct? Well, when was the last time you planted something in the Midbar? So Tosis and Chulins assumes that miracle of miracles, somehow they were able to plant and grow things in the Midbar. The Chai Adam, which you'll see on this handout that I gave you, wrote a book called the Nishmas Adam, and he claims that there are two types of Midbaros in Jewish history. There's the Midbar Sinai, and that was the Midbar around which they surrounded the mountain of Sinai and they received the Torah. And then there was what's called the Midbar HaGadol. Yes. Anybody else need Maram Komas? And then there was the Midbar HaGadol. Now the Midbar HaGadol was, how do you say in English, unplantable, arid, I don't know, whatever the word is. And the Midbar Sinai was still close enough to the Yishuv that it could produce. And already after Midbar, after they received the Torah, they were already planted. So again, what we see here is the following. There is some sort of a tendency on the part of some to insist that Meleches Zorea actually took place in preparing for the Mishkan. On the other hand, there's another school of thought, quoting the Medrash. The Medrash says that Yaakov Avinu, already back in his time, he warned, he told his children, there will be a time where we're going to build a Mishkan, so start preparing now. And the Zeriah was back in Mitzrayim. In fact, the Samamonim that they grew were taken down with the Jewish people, according to this school of thought, when they went down from Mitzrayim, when they left Mitzrayim and they went into the Midbar. So they took it down to the Samamonim were brought, unbelievable, the Samamonim were brought to Klal. What do we know that Yaakov planted that was definitely brought down to Mitzrayim? Anybody remember?
The trees.
Correct. What's that called in Lashon Kodesh? The Atzei Shittim, right? The Atzei Shittim. They were brought down with Klal Yisrael into Mitzrayim and then brought up to the Midbar, up to Eretz Yisrael and built for the Mishkan. Now, we're going to assume, this is the Chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch, that even with regard to the Samamonim, all the Zeriah and all of the growth of the Samamonim took place back in Yaakov Avinu's time, brought down to Mitzrayim, and then brought up from Mitzrayim into the Midbar and built the Mishkan. Now, why do I say this to you? Because this really puts a dent in my, Yisodei HaEmuna, my fundamentals of belief as far as Shabbos is concerned. If you're going to go with the Nishmas Adam and Tosis and Chulin, Micha. Okay, that somehow miraculously there was Zeriah in the Midbar. But if you go with the Shita of the Minchas Chinuch, and apparently the Minchas Chinuch is standing on the shoulders of many Achronim who came before him, including the Pnei Yoshua, the Chassam Sofer was more or less a younger contemporary of the Minchas Chinuch, all of them assume that the Zeriah did not take place in the Midbar. It was impossible to grow in the Midbar. And Yaakov Avinu warned them about that, and they prepared the Zeriah way back before the time of the Mishkan. So that sort of undermines a lot of what I thought about Melechus Shabbos. To set up a Melechus Shabbos when the Zeriah didn't take place in any historical period connected to the Mishkan, meaning in the Midbar when they built the Mishkan, makes me very uncomfortable. So what are we going to have to say, according to this school of thought? We can't just throw up our hands and say, forget about Mishkan. We don't need Mishkan. That's suicidal. I can't do that. So what do I have to assume? What do we mean by Mishkan?
It was to do with the Mishkan.
To do with the Mishkan. Okay, can anybody say it a little bit sharp? I need a little bit. What do you say? In the context of the Mishkan. Can somebody say it a little bit sharper than that? It was necessary for the Mishkan. I think that's the key word. It's Litzorech HaMishkan. When we say Mishkan, we're not talking about the actuality of this malacha was implemented in the Mishkan. What we're saying is it was necessary for the Mishkan. There's no way that you could be Makayim, the Yerios, and the Tzvias HaYerios, etc., without some Amonim that have to be cooked in order to extract the dye. Where did they actually do that? I couldn't care less. What I do care about is it was absolutely necessary for Bniyas HaMishkan. So I just want to make this point because it fascinates me that when we talk about Melechas Bniyas HaMishkan, we have to, in a sense, be willing to broaden our definition that Melechas Bniyas HaMishkan means any Melacha that was necessary for Bniyas HaMishkan. Okay. Now we get to the main crux of our problem. And that is, when exactly does this malach of Zriya complete itself? So in order to understand that, we have to talk a little bit about Afia, which is okay, because Afia is coming around the bend. It's the last of the Yud Aleph malachas that form the first set of Sidur Depas. What happens, Rabosai, if I take a dough... Not I, but he, right? I don't want to take. He takes a dough, he puts it into the oven on Shabbos, and it only bakes after Shabbos. Let's say a minute before Shabbos ends, if we want to dramatize it, he puts the dough into the oven. The actual afia takes place after Shabbos. Who can give me a chakira? Two definitions of Melechas Afia.
The mice itself and the outcome.
Correct. Is it the mice of the totsah? Excellent. If it's the mice of hadbakas hapas betanur, that took place on Shabbos and he's chayev. But if the mechayev is the afias hapas, what we call the totsah, that didn't place on Shabbos. And you can't be chayev for something that defines the malach and took place after Shabbos. The same chakira, I believe, we have to raise with regard to Zriya. What is the definition, the essence of Meleches Zorea? Is it the Maisa of Hanochas or Hazroas Hazera B'toch HaKarka? Or is it the Hashrosha, meaning when it takes root? The problem is going to be, Rabosai, that in Afia I have the luxury of raising that question. In Zri I don't have that luxury. Why not? Because you'll never be Chayef for Zri. Never can you be chayef for Zriya. Because the Gemara tells us in Masechet Menachos with regard to the Isur Chadash that the minimum amount of Hashrasha is 3 days, 72 hours. And Shabbos cannot be more than 24 hours, even with Tosefa Shabbos. You can't get to 72. So wait a minute, let me just, Rabbi, you're up next. I just want to reformulate the question over here. Bishlema, with regard to Afia, I could argue that maybe he's chayav for the afia for the actual gemar malacha of afia sapas, and then I'll stipulate that he's only chayav for afia if he puts the dough in the oven at 12 noon or at 3 in the afternoon, but not at 6:05, you know, a few minutes before shkia. That I can accept. But if I superimpose that gether, that definition from afia onto zriya, I come to the absurd conclusion that if Zriya is to take the Zera and be Mashrish the Zera, that's impossible. Which means, L'chora, and that we have to analyze, that by definition, by process of elimination, our Zriya must mean putting the Zera in a place where it could come to Hashrasha.
Well, but there's another difference between the Afia and Zriya. Because you can't argue that if I do it only at 3 o'clock, that it's because I had time to bake in the oven. Because it also requires that I did the Maisa Hadbaka on Shabbos to be Haraya. Because if I can put something, if I can put a chicken up right before Shabbos, they can cook all Shabbos on it, not Haraya at all. So it's not just
the Totsah.
It has to be both acts, and that will never get to Zriya.
Right. In Zriya, you could have the Maisa Zriya on Shabbos, but you can never have the Ashrosha on Shabbos itself. In Afia, you could have both the Hadbaka Sapas, meaning the Maisa Afia, and the Afia Sapas, what I call the Gemara Malacha, both took place on Shabbos if he puts the dough into the oven at 3 p.m. Now, Rabosai, this leads us to a different issue. And that is, what happens if Reuven puts the dough into the oven on Shabbos, and Shimon, or for that matter, Reuven himself, but I'll just we'll go slowly, and Shimon comes along, and he takes the dough out of the oven. Does anybody know, you know, Echad Miyodea here, the Sugya and Masechta Shabbos about this? And this is a sugi that goes way beyond the confines of Masechta Shabbos.
He's not allowed to do that. He'd be over at Rabbanim.
So, Joel, what is this sugi? Do you remember the name of the baby? The name of the sugi?
I can't send a little sin to prevent a major sin. To
excellent. Child. Now you're talking. Okay, the only difference between you and me is that you know it in English and I know it in Hebrew. Right, right. Maybe I should get more used. Lately, I've been getting more used to English, which is not good. But anyway, so this is called Omrim Liadam or Ein Omrim Liadam Chatei Bishvil Shetizke Chavero, which means that when Shimon takes the dough out of the oven, he violates a chet kal, which is called Ridias Hapas. And where is this sugya? It's one of the fascinating sugyas in Shas. It's in Shabbos on Daf Dalet Omer Aleph. So, believe me, if we ever get back to the first parak of Shabbos, that's going to be a major, major research project. Because Shimon put the pas into the oven, the dough into the oven. Before it got a chance to bake, Shimon took it out of the oven, and it never baked. And the Gemara says, Reuven is potter. The Gemara then vacillates back and forth. Is Shimon allowed to do this? Is Shimon obligated to do this? Every single possibility you could raise. Why? Because Shimon is going to be violating an Iser Kal to save Reuven from an Iser Chamor. And basically, Tosus proves from many sugyas and shas that although in the case of Afia, the Gemara comes to the conclusion, Ein Omrim Liyondam Chatei Bishvil Shetizke Chavero, but as a general rule, and he has four different principles, the rule is Omrim Liyondam Chatei, but Afia is not so. In any event, the Gemara clearly lays down the premise that you're only chayav for Afia if and when the Afia takes place on Shabbos. If by some hook or crook the Afia never took place, then you're potter. It means that what's your definition of Melechas Afia? Not just the Mais of Hadbaka, but also the Gemara Melacha in the Pas itself, what we call the Totsa Samais. If that be the case, Rabosai, what happens if you put the Pas into the Tanur before Shabbos in such a way that it cannot bake until after Shabbos? You're potter. And the Rashash here at the beginning of Klal Gadol, of the mission of Klal Gadol, says, Hu adin in Melecha Zorea. If Reuven puts the seed down into the ground, and Shimon, and again it doesn't have to be Shimon, it could be Reuven himself, and Shimon comes along and removes the seed before it takes root, before Hashrasha, then Reuven is potter. But yet, the Rashash cannot deny that Hashrosha takes place after Shabbos. So it's fascinating. On the one hand, in Melechas Afia, we have what's called a Habah HaTalya. There are two issues that emanate from the same fundamental question. One issue is, what happens if the Afia took place after Shabbos? And the other issue is, what happens if the Afia never took place? It never materialized. And in both cases, we're going to say he's potter. In Zorea, according to the Rashash, we're going to have to make the following distinction. Ein achinami, the malach itself is clinched when he puts the seed down even before Hashrasha. But that's only because Hashrasha will take place. If something comes to abort the Hashrasha, meaning 2 days later, for argument's sake, on Monday, somebody removes the zer from the karka, then that's like the case, says the Rashash, of Shimon who took the dough out of the oven, and therefore Reuven is potter. And in my mind, this raises just logistically such headaches, because what are we going to do? We gave the man hasra in front of two edim, don't be zorea. In the case of afia, okay, I can be reasonable in my calculations that the afia will take place, it will reach its fruition before the end of Shabbos. I look at my clock and there's plenty of time. But in the case of zorea, I have to add another variable to the equation. Will the hashrosh ever take place? And says the Rashash, we're going to assume that the hashrosh will take place until we know otherwise. You're guilty until proven innocent. But ein chinami, if someone removes the zera before the hashrosh, then you're potter. So the maisa machayev is the zriya itself. But I need the gemar moloch. Do I need the gemar moloch as part of the machayev? In the case of afia, I need the gemar afia as part of the machayev. Therefore, it has to take place when? On Shabbos. If the Gemar Afia is part of my Malacha, that has to take place on Shabbos. That's your definition of Maleches Afia. But in the case of Zorea, which according to the Rashash is to be equated with Afia, there you're going to be Chayiv only if there is Ashrosho. Like the case of Afia, where you're only Chayiv if at the end of the day there is an Afia. But the difference is that the Afia will take place at the end of the day, whereas the Ashrasha won't take place at the end of the day, but it must happen. So I'm in a bind here, according to the Rashash. On the one hand, my definition of Zorea is putting the Zera into the ground. On the other hand, I'm only going to be Chayav, like in the case of Afia is my paradigm, if the Ashrasha takes place. And if at the end of the day, the Ashrasha doesn't take place, I'm potter. But when does the Ashrasha take place? So the Ashrasha is not part of the Maisa Machayav. What do you have to call it? Rabbi said, what word or concept do we have to introduce here according to the Rashash? I don't know another way of interpreting the Rashash.
Attention. Beer.
A Tanai. In other words, there are two parts to defining a malacha. One part is the etzem ha-machayev, the maisa ha-machayev. Why am I chayev? What did I do that makes me chayev? And the other is a Tanai. Tanai means it's got to happen. But that's not part of my machayev. The nafkamina is going to be between Tanai and the etzem ha-machayev about Shabbos. If it's part of the etzem ha-machayev, then it has to take place when? On Shabbos. If it's only a Tanai, the Tanai could take place a month later, a year later, I don't care when. My only problem is going to be Asra Safek. That's a different sugya. How can I tell the guy, don't be Zorea? Who knows what's going to happen with Ashrosh is going to take place? There's so many different factors. You know, if the rain comes, you know, if somebody else comes along, the animals come and tread on the ground, who knows? But it doesn't matter. Since you put the Zera down, that was the Maisa Machayev, you're not Chayev for the actual Hashrosha. There has to be a Hashrosha. At the end of the day, according to the Rashash, there has to be a Hashrosha. But it can take place outside of Shabbos, way after Shabbos. It's a Tanai, but it's not part of the Machayev. Lu Matzot, in the case of Afia, the Afia Sapas is not just a Tanai, but it's also part of the Etzem HaMachayev. And therefore, says Rashash, the afia must take place on Shabbos itself.
So there's nothing wrong.
Yonatan? Yeah. Is that a hand?
In the case of afia.
You have to say Shechiyano here. Wait a minute.
In the case of afia, so if you put it into an oven that's not on, nothing's going to happen until you turn the oven on.
Ah.
In the case of Zorea, if you put it into a dry ground, so you're planting it, it's covered with dirt, and if you water it after Shabbos, so it will eventually turn into a.
So wait a minute, you want, let me just, again, I don't know what you have in mind, but let me just ask a question before your comment. What happens if I have dry land, and I put a zera into dry land? There's no way it's gonna reach Hashrosh unless I come along and I water it.
Right.
So I think what the Rashash is saying is, in that case, I wouldn't be chayev because the Maisa Zriya has to be a Zriya that lends itself to Hashrosha. The fact that new factors can or variables can enter into the equation and and emerge on the surface that'll make that Zriya all of a sudden magically, you know, the land from an arid land it becomes a rich land, you know, a watered land and so forth. So on. That That's not a Melech HaZoreh. But anyway, get back to your question. So what were you asking, Yonatan?
Something around what? Basically,
is it hot in here at Bosai, or it's just that I'm working up a sweat? Yeah?
No, if it's not HaZoreh, it would be, you're planting it. If you water it after Shabbat, so then would you be chayav for planting it?
I don't think so, because... Now, here's where Asra Sufik comes in. Asra Sufik means, what happens if you have an Avera that's comprised of two different parts? And it's only after I do the second Maisa that, insofar as the second Maisa integrates into the first Maisa, then I'm chai for both A and B, for both the first Maisa and the second Maisa. So that's a sugya. I don't know if Yonatan, you were with me when we learned in Makis Daf Tesfav called Bitlo Velo Bitlo. And according to, I forget if it's Rabbi Yochanan, I think it's Rabbi Yochanan who says bitlo velo bitlo means that you're only chayev malchus for the avera salav if you mavato the essay. So, for example, he took the mother bird, he took the fledglings, and he didn't send away the mother bird, but he can still be metaken it by sending away the mother bird. Shaleach to shalach hasayim. You have to learn that sugi and chul. Very complicated sugi. But he went ahead and he shechted the mother. So Rabbi Yochanan says he's chayiv now on the shechita. What do you mean he's chayiv on the shechita? So Rashi asks this question. Because what do you mean he's chayiv on the shechita? The shechita is not the lav. The lav is lotika chayim al abonin. But the answer is that the lav, says Rashi, is made up and comprised of two maisim. But I don't think that's true for the case of Zoreh. I don't think that Zoreh is number one, putting the Zoreh in, and number two, watering the Zoreh. If a person would do that on Shabbos, he'd be chayev, according to Rabbi Eliezer, at least two chatos, because he chayev on Av and told him he did. Okay, Rabosai, I want to introduce here a sefer.
Are you saying that you put the bread in just before Shabbos ends, and that's okay, there's no iser?
In the case of Afia, says the Rashash, he would not be chayiv. Why? Because the machayiv of Afia is not just putting the dough into the oven, but it's the baking of the bread. Everything has to take place on Shabbos, and he derives that conclusion from the fact that Gemara Daf Dalet establishes that if Shimon removes the pas, then Reuven is patur. But in the case of Zoreah, the Ashrosh has to take place sometime down the line, but it's not part of the machayiv, and therefore it doesn't have to take place on Shabbos. Now, who disagrees with the Rashash? That's the Minchas Chinuch. If you take a look on Yemar Makomos page, he writes, the second source, V'hinei Meleches Hazriah im Zorea b'mokom sheroi litzmoach ukvar birarnu, etc., etc. D'al Hazriah shezora chayev af below hishrish. In other words, what does the Minchas Chinuch drop? What does he omit? The Tanai. The Tanai of Hashrosha, which the Rashash insists upon, is unacceptable according to Minchas Chinuch. It's unnecessary. There is no such thing as a Tanai. No. And therefore, if Niskalkel, Al Yidei Zasibo, Atekef Higbiyam in a Karka, still is Chayav. For what? For the Maisa's real. So again, both the Rashash and the Minchas Chinuch agree that the Maisa of Zriya is the Maisa Zriya, and that's the Malacha for which you're Chayef. The Nafgamina, the Machlokas between the Minchas Chinuch and the Rashash revolves around a Tanai, whereas the Rashash insists on the Tanai that there's got to be Ashrosha taking place. It's not part of the Maisa Machayef, the Maisa is the Maisa Zriya, but there must be down the line Ashrosha, and if somebody removes the Zera and Niskalkel, Azera, etc., he's Patur. But the Minchas Chinuch insists that no, not only is the Maisa Machayev the Maisa Zriya, but there is no Tanai. There is no Tanai. In other words, it comes out that the Minchas Chinuch is breaking up which equation, which analogy? Between Zriya and Afia. Volodami Lafia, says the Minchas Chinuch, it's not similar to Afia. The kodem shenefe eino chayev kimavur b'shas. You can add in your handwriting daf dalet om an olive. He tiru l'radosa kodem shetiyofa kidei shelo tovo shel yovel lidei chiyuv chatos. Did they permit Shimon to save Reuven from a chiyuv chatos? No. So wait a minute. the Minchas Chinuch has confessed defeat at this point. I mean, you're telling me in Afiyah that the Afiyah has to take place. And if it doesn't take place, he's not Chayav. So why not say the same thing about Hashrosha and Zriya? The Hossam Ha'afiyah Hu Ha'malacha V'chayav B'shas Ha'afiyah. Aval hocha malachi azriya v'chayiv tekef al azriya. Shkoyach gol. Doesn't tell me a thing. He hasn't told me a thing. If you're telling me that in afia the maisa machayiv is adbokas pas betanur, then the parallel in azriya is the maisa azriya. Now you're telling me no. But it's not enough that you in afia that you are madvik pas betani. You need the afia itself. So why don't I say the same thing? That's over there. I need that shrosha. He's just repeating what he said at the beginning of the paragraph. He's redefining. I remember in the Rav Shir, a lot of times the Rav would ask for a hesber, and he'd get very upset because what the guy would do is he would just regurgitate what came before the Rav's hesber. You know? Basically, what the Minchas Chinuch is doing is he's regurgitating. That's great if you're looking for simonic kashrus in an animal, but it doesn't help me in love this over here. Why should there be this fundamental difference? Why is it that in Zri I couldn't care less whether the Hashrosha takes place? And the Maisa Zriya is enough to be Machayev me, there are no other conditions. But Nafiyah, it's not enough to do the Maisa Afiyah by putting the Bas into the Tanur. I gotta wait until the Afiyah takes place before. Okay, you know, Kabbalah in the Kabbalah, but why?
Because we can't have Machayev, it's not ourselves.
I don't know that that's true. First of all, what happens according to the Minchas Chinuch if the Afiyah takes place after Shabbos? Is he Chayev or is he not? I don't know, the Minchas Chinuch hasn't taken a stand on that issue. We're going to have to, that's a different Minchas Chinuch in Melech HaSafia. We're going to have to see. But even if I grant you that the Afiyah has to take place on Shabbos, that's only because it's feasible for the Afiyah to take place on Shabbos. In the case of Zriya, it's a Tanai. It's not part of the Maisa Machayev. But who says that somebody can remove the Zoreah and garnish Ketrof and nothing happened over here? There's the Lonis Kayo Machshavto. He wanted to plant who knows what and garnish. There's no planting. I don't know. Well, also, I want to introduce a Sefer here. I'm a proud owner of a Sefer, which is called the Halachos Ketanos. Okay? This Sefer was authored by Rav Yaakov Chagiz, who lived in the 1600s, and I am to be the proud owner of a first edition. It's over 3 centuries old. And he writes the following. She'ela. Maishna debemavashal v'ofe be'inon she'yefe v'ilu zorea mishe'shlicham. Meaning he throws the zera al gabi karka mechayev. Our kasha. Again, this man lived 4 centuries ago, way before the Minchas Chinuch. And he gives 2 answers to this question. So again, Rabbi, let's just put on our thinking caps. He wants to analyze why is it that in the case of afia, I must have the afia, the gemar malach as we called it, whereas in Zriya, once he puts the Zerah down, he's chayav. Tshuva. First answer. Mistavra dimimavashel v'ofer adayin gomro bidei adam. Again, if anyone's writing down notes, these are the 3 key words in Rav Chagiz. Gomro bidei adam. Pretty wild. I mean, last time I checked, I put the dough in the oven. I put the pizza in the oven, and it baked. What does it mean, gomro bidei adam?
And you have to actually do something physically.
What do you do? So let's read another few words, Harvey, in the Halachas Ketanos. He writes, shetzorech lahagis bikedera velachtos. Now, if you take these words literally, they make no sense whatsoever. Now, I admit, he's right in certain cases. If I put a pot on the fire and I'm cooking my my summer money, what if I'm cooking, I might need a little bit of hagasa. You know, I have to be actively involved in being the mayor, in speeding up the bishul. In the case of a campfire, I might have to poke the coals a little bit, get the heat up. But no one's going to convince me that that has to happen in all cases. I mean, if I turn on the oven and there's enough coal in the oven, you know, and enough of a fire to bake the bread, I can go to sleep and come back 15 minutes later, you take a little snooze, and it's baked already. But at least I have to admit one thing, that under certain circumstances, he's right. Meleches afia bishul, afia slash bishul, which is one av melacha, will be implemented through gomro biad otam. Gomro biad otam. Aval hazorea hakol bidei shamay. There's no way that you can speed up the process of Zeriah. I mean, of course, Yonatan is going to ask, but maybe you can water the plant. But he's assuming that watering the plant might help, but it doesn't really induce the growth. The growth is going to happen mimela. Now, how did I get to this Rav Chagiz? Do you think I looked amongst my first editions? I just decided to take out the Halachos Ketanos. The Lucky Shot. So I got it from the next source on your page, the chief rabbi of Jerusalem, and that is the Har Tzvi. Now, what I'd love to do eventually, not today, but compare this tshuva of the Har Tzvi with the first tshuva of the Har Tzvi in Evin HaEzer, where he talks about artificial insemination, whether he's Mekayim the Misuperior Virvi or not. But okay, I don't know. That's going to be a project. Because I once said a shiur right here to the Kollel, based on the Rav Tzvi Hirsch Frank, his understanding of artificial insemination, the Misuperior Virvi. Now, you may have in front of you four pages of a tshuva from the Har Tzvi. And what you might want to know is that on page number one, the paragraph that starts V'yesh Levarer, he speaks about this question of Lokat HaZera Kodem Shenishrash. Would it be patur if they took out the zera, or he took out the zera before the Ashrosh? Shalom Afreya, he's patur. And he says nafkemina, not only nafkemina in this case where somebody took out the Ashrosha, because that would be nafkemina whether you put him to death or not. We don't have capital punishment today. But nafkemina lizorea b'shabes v'achkach nimlach. Let's say a person on Shabbos, either deliberately or let's say it was unintentionally, he put the zera in the ground. Now he wants to prevent the culmination of this malach. Im omrim lo, should we tell him lachzor v'litol es hazron? Again, I don't know that somebody else could do it because that comes under the sugya of ein omrim liodam chatei b'shvil shizkeh. But he himself, the Gemara says, in the case of Afia, he could take the pasa out of the oven to violate an iser kal instead of violating an iser misa. So should he take out the zron kadesh liyischayev mishum zorea? Because again, if you're assuming that the Hashrosha is a Tanai, whose sheet is that? The Rashash. Then he better take out the Zriya as soon as he can. If on the other hand, according to Minchas Chinuch, Geendik, the story is over, finito, he already has violated the Melech Zriya, taking out the Zera is not going to help him one bit. And he says that the Afal... Yeah, fine. That's his stuff. Okay. Now, take a look on page 2. Umatzasi la rasha shekosav lemer imlokad azera kodem shenishrash near the potul mafreya. So the Rashash tells us that you can save the violation of meleches orea, and basically this assumes an absolute equation to meleches afia. Just like in meleches afia, you save the melacha by removing the dough before it bakes, so too in meleches orea, you save the violation of the melacha before what? Before it takes root. And in the next paragraph he says, Pshito leila rashash tizorea v'ofed din echad lahem. That we have to assume an absolute equation. And therefore, zorea, now he asks the obvious question, but if you're assuming an equation, then the Hashrosh should take place on Shabbos, just like the Afia should take place on Shabbos. He says, V'afta Hashrosh ahoy b'chol, that's only going to take place on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, nearly, dekein ha'ofe b'Shabbos im chashecha chayav. He wants to assume, not the way I assumed, but he wants to assume that according to the Rashash, you could be chayav for Afia, even a moment before Chashecha. And therefore he says, T'midi al Dvarim Eila. He says, how can you be chayav for something that takes place after Shabbos? You can be make him into Machal Shabbos when the Chil Shabbos took place after Shabbos. And on line 4 of that paragraph, he quotes the Minchas Chinuch who disagrees with the Rashash. But again, I think he's being unfairly harsh against the Rashash, because the Rashash would argue that in the case of Afia, the Machayev is the Gemar Hafia. And when the Gemara says that if somebody else takes out the dough, he's potter, that's because the Machayev didn't happen. And that's where I think the Baal Halachas Ketanos is going to help us to understand this Rashash. But in any event, the Rashash now says, but in the case of Zriya, the Maisa Machayev is the Zriya itself, but the Tanai is the Ashrosh. And if it's only a Tanai, that Tanai could be fulfilled after Shabbos. Mashen Kein and Afia, it's the Machayev itself is the Afia Sapas. Shuv Ra'isi Amin Chaschinach, Shehiksha Echayev Mishum Zorea Ha'eno Niklat, Bipochos Migibul Yomim, blah, blah, blah. So if the Ashrosh can take six on Chol, how can it be Chayev for Zorea? And he says, Al Korchach, says Amin Chaschinach, that Yesh Chilut Bein Zorea Liofe. In the case of Ofe, he's Chayev for the Afia, and that has to take place on Shabbos, and it has to come to fruition. Ubizorea Nigmar Chiyuvo Tekef, and Eino Toli Bashrosh Klal. And that means that even if somebody were to remove the Zera, the violation of Zriya was absolutely complete and clinched with the Maisa of Zriya. And it's irrelevant whether the Ashrosha actually ever takes place. There is no Tanai of Ashrosha. And then he's going to go ahead and compare that to Kelayim. What happens if he plants two different Zera of two different Minim? Is he Chayav for the Kelayim even without Ashrosha? And that's going to be a fascinating machlokas in Masechet Pesachim Adaf Chav Hei. Now we get to the main paragraph that I wanted to study with you, which is V'tayma de Milsa. He wants to understand what we want to understand, and what the Minchas Chinuch left us a little bit hanging. What is the difference between Zorea and Ofa? Why is it that according to Minchas Chinuch, the Malacha of Zorea is complete with the Maisa Zriya, whereas according to Minchas Chinuch, in the case of Afia, the Malacha itself includes the Gemar Malacha and the Afia? The Minchas Chinuch doesn't give us a clue about this. So if you take a look, it's almost at the bottom of your page 2, he says, Matsasi b'sefer halachos ktanos. It's on page 2, and it's 2 lines up from the bottom. Maishna de mevashel v'ofer b'inon kishir b'shabbos. Why is it that with regard to Afia, the Afia has to take place on Shabbos, and that's against the Rashash? Again, this is many centuries before the Rashash, because Rabbi Moshe Chagiz lived in the 1600s. The Rashash lived in the end of the 1800s. And according to the Halachas Ketanos, in the case of Afia, the Afia has to take place on Shabbos. You see, the Rashash went as far as to say that the actual Afia is only a Tanai, just like the actual Hashrosha and Zriya is only a Tanai. And he says, Vazorea misheshlicham agavi karka chayav. Why is that in Afia, the Afia has to take place on Shabbos? On Shabbos, the actual Afia, not like the Rashash. But in contrast, in the case of Zorea, the Zriya, meaning the Ashrosha, doesn't have to take place on Shabbos, doesn't even have to take place at all, perhaps, at least according to the Minchas Chinuch. And Tshuva, the answer was, Mistavra, this is the first answer of Rabbi Moshe Chagiz, the Vashel V'yofa Dayin Gomro Bidei Adam. Why? Shetzarech, again, that word tzarech is very iffy here. Tzarech means it's helpful, but it's not necessary. Lahagis b'kedera, v'lachtos b'bichol. So that's called gomro b'day adam. Aval zorea kol b'day shamayim ad kan l'shon v'tzarech biur. What does he mean by this? Hanan gam b'ofe milo askina dehidbik pas b'tanur sheyesham eish. I don't know what this next word mitzumtzum. That's a mistake. It should say sheyesham eish gedola.
Maspik.
I don't know. Mitzumtzum doesn't make any sense to me. Kishir sheyefa bishlemus anshein tzarch odlus asik bozeh. What does he mean? You need his askus. You don't need his askus. V'im kol zeinu mechuyev rak kisheh yigmar. So we're not there yet. He says. Okay. Now Rabosai, what Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank does for us is he introduces a machlokes between the poskim that lived way before his time, four centuries earlier, the Magen Avram and the Evan HaOzer, not to be confused with the Shulchan Aruch Chelek Evan HaEzer. What's their argument? Okay, Rabosai, let me have your attention for a few minutes. There's a malacha called tochen. In the case of malachas tochen, there are two possibilities of achieving tchina. One is what's called lahachtish, right? Then you take the grains and you crush them. Okay, and there's a machtesh, there's a certain kind of utensil that you use, and you literally pound them away. That's why we don't take medicines on Shabbos, because in the old days they used to take medicines through shchikas. Some of them, shchikas is the same for our purposes now as ktisha. That ktisha is called meleches tochen. It's a told of meleches tochen. But there's another way of doing tochen. We could do it through automation, right? Through machines. Again, they didn't have machines back in the day of the Magen Avraham, but what they did have is a rechayim. Rechayim means that the water would come and turn the mill around. And all he does is he pours the grains into the mill in such a way that as a result of the power of the water that circulates the mill, it crushes the grind. The Magen Avraham says that you're only chayv on Shabbos for the first category of meleches tochen, when you do it biyadayim. But if you pour it into a mill, then he says you're potur. Why? Because it's only a shvus di alma kevan, on the second line, kevan de mimela nitchanim. What does he mean by mimela? Shalal yidei maisa hadam. That's called mimela. Va'evena ozer, call it a type of a grum. Va'evena ozer, cholek olav who pasak to have av malacha. Okay, now the Evena Ozer brings two riyas to his conclusion that you're chayav for pouring this grain into the mill. First riyas is from meleches zore, which means winnowing. So he takes the grains and he throws it in the air, and the wind blows away the chaff, and he's chayiv. That's one of the 39 malachas. And the second raya is from malachas afia. He puts the pas into the tanur, and the fire bakes the bread. Says the Evan Ozer, Vaistos, you see from these two cases of malachas afia, and Meleches Zoreh, that even though it was Gomro Bidei Shamayim, even though he didn't do the Gemar Melacha, he just set up the natural forces to take over, he's Chayav. So Tzvi Pesach Frank wants to defend the Magen Avraham. And in doing so, he quotes the Karban Nesanel. Does anybody know who the Karban Nesanel was? I only mention it because I have a good friend who's Ben Acher Ben of the Karban Nesanel, Aryeh Weil. Does anybody know Aryeh? He's a rabbi, I think, in Ramot. Anyway, the Karban Nesanel's name was Weil. He was a German Jew. And he writes a super commentary on the Rush. And in that super commentary, he wants to defend the Magen Avraham. He says, "Ein lilmo tchina me'afir." The Magen Avraham is right. Then in the case of tchina, you're only chayv when you grind it to be a dayim. It's not enough to put it into the mill. Even though nafir, all you have to do is place it into the oven. And even though in the case of Afia, Nigmeres Mei Eleha, but in Tchino, you're not Chayef for Nigmeres Mei Eleha. Why? Says the Karban Asano Mishum De Ikar Tolui, I would ask you to underline this, I think this is going to take us through Masech the Shabbos, Mishum De Ikar Tolui Eich Hoya HaMaisa Shal HaMalacha B'Mishkan. We go back to the Mishkan, not only to establish a Malacha Rabosai, but to establish the way the Malacha is defined. The way the malacha, what is the maisa malacha? You want to know whether there is such a malacha. Okay, I'll grant you there's a malacha called tochen, and they did tchina in the Mishkan. I grant you that there's a malacha called afiyah, and they did afiyah in the Mishkan. But I want to ask a different question. Well, what constitutes tchina? Is it enough that I put it in a situation where the tchina happens meileha? In a case of afiyah, is it enough that I put it into the oven, or I put my pot on the fire and the bishul happens meileha? Or no? I have to be actively involved. And the answer is Mishkan. Mishkan again plays a role. Is Rabosai, I say to emphasize this cover to Sano because he tells me that the scope and the significance of Mishkan goes way beyond our wildest imagination. It's a Tzvei Dinim kind of Mishkan. Mishkan will define the Malach itself, and it will define the Maisa Malach. The Maisa Malach is going to be generated and established by the Mishkan.
You and told it then. Told is just a usher.
Well, wait a minute. Toldu will be usher if the Tolda is another form of that Maisa. But when you're talking about where the Maisa is Bidei Adam, or the Maisa is Bidei Shamayim, that Tolda can't achieve. You know, you could talk about actively putting the Zera in, you could talk about watering the Zera, you could talk about Avin Tolda. But your basic definition of a Maisa Zriya is going to be the same. But in the case of Tolchein, now Tolda can't help me at all. Why? Because the Mishkan is going to define the Maisa Malacha. And anything similar to that Maisa Malach could be a Tolda, but not something that's totally dissimilar, where I just simply put the grains on the top of this mill, and it goes down and down and down, and the mill does all the work. But let's read the Karban Asanel. He says the following: Ha'ikar tolui eich haya ha'maisa shal ha'malacha b'mishkan, v'afia b'mishkan, hainu bishul. Okay, because again, afiyah was not really done in the Mishkan. That was done for the Lechem Aponim, but we mentioned, I think, a few days ago that, again, this depends on the Machlokas HaGaonim, but according to most Gaonim, only Bnias HaMishkan will establish a Malacha. So therefore he mentions Bishul. Oh, here's the key. Lo Hoya B'Ofen Acher Ela. What's the next word, Rabosai? Memela. You have to darken that word, bold it, highlight it, whatever you like to do. I'll give you a red pencil, a green pencil, a blue pencil. But you have to emphasize the word memela. Because what did they do with the samamonim? Claims, again, I don't know if he has Ruach HaKodesh, he claims that they took the samamonim, they threw it into the pot, into the cauldron, and then they went to sleep. Geendigt. There was no agosa. There was no active involvement in the bishul samamon. El nisbashlu asamamonim emel al yidei ha'esh. Nu rabosai. At this point, the Magen Avraham agrees that afiyah is a malacha nases me'elel. And that's exactly what Bishul HaSamamonim was in the Mishkan. So I can define my Maisa Machayev by Mishkan. Mishkan becomes my paradigm. And the Maisa Machayev in Afiyah / Bishul was simply Nasame Mimela, Al Yidei HaEsh. Which is fascinating, Rabosai, because in the Zikin, I don't think you'd be Chayev for such a thing. Like, for example, the Gemara says in Bava Kamma that if the wind blows the fire and makes the fire into dangerous fire, you're potter for that. Because the fire is then causing the hezek, not you. Okay, that's on the side. Oh, Now comes along the Magen Avraham, the way the Kavod HaSadol understands, and he asks himself, what was Tchina in the Mishkan? Was Tchina in the Mishkan a mirror image of Afia, which means Nase Meileo Ayidei Ha'esh? In this case, Ayidei Ha'Rechayim, Ha'Rechayim, right? Through the Mayim. Aval Tchina, Masha Hoya Osa, Av Melacha Eitzel Mishkan. The Hebrew here is a little problematic, but what was the Melacha of Tchina in the Mishkan? Ktisha Sasamimonim. You took a kli called a machteshes and you pounded it away. That's how you grind your grains in the Mishkan. Is therefore, underline the next four words, Lo Hoya Ella. What's the opposite of Mimelev? What was the word he used? Me'elov, I think it was. Is here, it's Biyodayim. Okay then? So just, I'm going to just take a second and underline the key words here for my own purposes. Biyodayim versus Mimelev. Do you see that? Adkan Dvorov. Okay. Now, so far we're doing pretty good. It means that there's no valid equation between Afia and Tchina, because the definition of the Maisa Machayev is totally in Mishkan. In Mishkan, the Tchina was Biyodayim. The Bishul was Memela. And therefore, even though in the case of Bishul, I could be Chayev for the Memela, meaning that it happened through the powers of nature, the forces of nature, but in Tchina, I have to be actively involved in creating the Tchina, in Tchina, right? Nimtza, Diladas HaMogen Avram, Prote Asiyas, Kol Melacha Melacha Tolui, Biofane Asiyosa Shahoya B'Mishkan. Lizos Efsha Dilasvara Zunis Kavin Baal Halachas Ketanos. Now he wants to shed a light on the Baal Halachas Ketanos. Then he has to go back to the Evan Ozer and justify the Evan Ozer, who says that in Tolkien Yechayev, even if it's Memela. The Afiu Bishul. Oh, now here it gets really complicated. Rabbi Olson, the next two, what time is it? Okay, I spent about an hour on the next two lines. Okay, so let's see if we can make sense of it. He says the following. The Bafia Ubishal, please underline the next word, af. Okay? Af. And then after that, mikomakom. Af the ikar hamalocha nigmeres me eleha. Now, Rabosai, what does that mean, ikar hamalocha? Well, what defines, from whence do I derive the ikar hamalocha? What's my source, Rabosai? Mishkan, right? That's what he just spent all these lines telling me, that in Mishkan they just plopped the samamonim into the pot, and it was the Eish did the rest. So that was Meileh. So he says, Ikar HaMalacha Nigmeres Meileh. Mikol Makom. Now he introduced another variable into the equation. Darka Bekach. How would you translate those words? Darka Bekach.
That's
not darka b'kach.
Normally
means the way you and I would do the bishul. He's now setting up, he's bifurcating here. He's comparing and contrasting the way they did in the Mishkan to the way you and I might do it. The darka b'kach means, what's the popular method of bishul? So you have to ask the chefs. If you ask a chef the following question. You were very meticulous about all the ingredients, and you're a great chef and you won the prizes. What do you do? A or B? Do you just throw it all into the pot and go to sleep? Or do you hover over it?
Hover.
Yeah. So the chef will tell you, because he wants to get paid for his work, I don't just go to sleep, I'm hovering over it. That's called a darka b'kach. So again, he's already established it in the Mishkan, where we established the Iker Meleches Bishul. They just threw it into the pot. Okay? Again, you could reread the words that we underline, just to make sure I'm not misleading you. But if you ask me what's the darka b'kach is she'e odo mashgiach umis'asek ba means in the afia, or the bishul, the eno misalik atzma mimena, he doesn't turn his back, ad she'tigomer. Wow. This is fascinating. There are two dimensions to the malacha. There's the Mishkan that defines the Ikar HaMalacha, which is called Nase's Me'eleha. And therefore, don't ask me a kasha, says the Magen Avraham, why is it that I insist that in Tochen you're not chayef for Nase's Me'eleha, but in Afir you are? The answer is because Mishkan tells me the Ikar HaMalacha, and the Ikar HaMalacha of Tochen was done with the Machteshes. The Ikar HaMalacha of Afir was done where they threw the thing in the pot, and then they were in the Stalik Mimena Legamre, right? But that's not where the ball game ends. There's a whole other variable here into the equation, and that is the Darka Bakach. And what's the Darka Bakach of Meleches Bishul? Is she Adam Ashgiach Umis Asek Ba? Until what point? Achati Gomer. So what is the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank? What is he trying to entice us here? To what position? What concept is he forcing us, compelling us to accept if I grant that there's a dark of a kach? Anybody, you're not following me? He's pulling the wool over our eyes, on both sides. He's telling you something that you could read a million times and think he's just telling a story. It's very interesting. You know, if I went to chef school, this would be a fascinating point. And I'd write a whole psychological text about it. But no, he's... In a very revolutionary way, he is redefining Meleches Afir. There's one definition of Meleches Afir that emanates from the Ikar Malacha. Where's the Ikar Malacha? In Mishkan. And then there's another definition of Meleches Afir that derives from what? Darka Bakach. From Darka Bakach. What is this new definition of Afir, Rabosai? Correct. Be a dayim, or in other words, the Gemar Malacha. Meaning, Rabosai, even though your abstract definition of afia means I put the thing in and then I go to sleep, but the actual, shall I say, Geder HaMalacha, not the Mais HaMalacha, but the Geder HaMalacha is going to be determined by Daka, is going to be the Gemar Maleches afia, the Gemar Maleches Bishul. Again, he's not talking about the mice of Malacha. Because Rabbo said, what would be if the chef put all the ingredients into the pot and then he went to sleep? What would be his din? He'd be chayev. No doubt he's be chayev. That's the way they did Melech Safi in the Mishkan. But nevertheless, when you define the Malacha, once having derived it as a mice of Malacha from the Mishkan, now you define it based on Darka Bakach. Vizeu shekosav, and this explains the words of Rav Moshe Chagiz. Rav Moshe Chagiz says, why is it that in the case of Afia, Be'inon, I'm reading his word, Sheye Efa, Sheye Ofe, or Te Ofe, because, says the Rav Moshe Chagiz, because Adayin Gomro Bidei Adam. It's fascinating because we just finished convincing ourselves based on Mishkan that it's Gomro Me'elov, and that's why Afia is unique and in contrast to what? To Tochen. Now we're saying no, but in your definition of Meleches Afia, you need Gomro Bidei Adam. Why? Because Darko Bekachshu Mashgiach Umisaseik Ad Chegbamro Vizel Shekosav Gomro Bidei Adam Shebiyado Lasos Ulemaher Gmar Habishol. Maybe he means not only to speed up the process of Bishul, but also to supervise and make sure the perfected Bishul, you know, he can do this, he can do that, he's a professional, he knows what to do. Lachain, Shir HaMalacha Nimshach, okay, who wants to do me a favor and take that word Shir and use our terminology, substitute our conceptual terminology. Not the Shir HaMalacha Nimshach, but what?
The process.
The Maisa Machayev. The Maisa Machayev is Nimshach Mishosh and Nosein Aleish at Gemara Bishol. And if the Maisa, basically the Darko Bekach is going to bridge me, allow me to bridge from the placing of the food on the fire or in the oven until the Gemara Bishol. How do I bridge that and incorporate all of that into my Maisa Machayev? That's through Darko Bekach. Shekein Hoya Ofen. Again, the next line I can't figure out. Asiyas B'Mishkan. He just finished telling me that in the Mishkan it wasn't that way. Okay. L'shtadl Ba'ad Shegomra. Aval Hazriya, What did they do in the Mishkan? And what's the Darko Bekach Mimonavshach? Now taking the Mishkan or Darko Bekach, and what conclusion do you draw? Is Tekef Misha Mashlich HaGarinim Bekarka Yado Misulekes Heimeno V'Einlo Odesik Ba? And that's called, in the language of Rav Moshe Chagiz, Nasa Kol Bidei Shomayim. So Rabosa, I wrote a little chart here on the board. I don't know if it helps anybody, but they finally got me a whiteboard or whatever they call it. And I wrote the following, that according to the Hartzvi, Mishkan teaches me the Malacha. Right? How do I know these 39 Malachas? They all derive from Mishkan. And not only that, Mishkan determines what the Pe'ulas HaMalacha is and why I'm Chayav. And the answer is, I'm chayav for putting the pas into the oven, and that's what I'm chayav for. But now you have to define the malacha. Is the malacha just the setting up the process, or is the malacha bringing the process into fruition? Is it bidei adam or is it bidei shamayim? And here he has another halacha, and that's called darka shel malacha. And if the darka shel malacha comes to play, then it teaches me the gera malacha. And I fear we have both elements here. Number one, we have the mishkan, and that's going to be telling me that you're chayav for adbaka sapas betanur. Even though the afiyah now happens automatically through the forces of nature through the age. And then we have another halacha called what? Darga shel afiyah. The way we normally do afiyah, the professionals, is that you're chayav because you're misasik in the afiyah achetigomer. And that's what Rav Moshe Chagiz means to explain why is it that in the case of afiyah, I'm not chayav until the afiyah actually materializes itself, because I'm not going to be chayav until the Gemara afiyah. The Gemara afiyah is the extension of my definition of afiyah, based not on Mishkan, but based on Darko Shel Afiyah. So Blin Eder, we'll try to put this all together on, when do we meet again? Today is what? Wednesday?
Monday.
So okay, this serves that?
Now, this may have been in the hands of Rav Moshe Chagiz, so you may want to touch it. He was still alive.
This usurps that?
I say it expands. But let's have mincha.